Power Principles, Chapter 17, Continued. To perfect the power of God. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. To remove that which is unstable. Suffering results in all that is unstable being shaken out of your life. You cease to depend on people, programs, or material things, as these all fail in your time of need. God permits this. Removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27. During the storms of life, everything crumbles that is not built upon God and His Word. Psalm 11, verse 89, and Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. To change your focus. When you experience suffering, you often focus your attention on cause and effect. You are concerned with what caused the difficult circumstances and the terrible effect it is having in your life. God wants to change your focus from struggling to understand the temporal situation to recognizing the benefits of the eternal. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. If we suffer, we also shall reign with him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. To change the old self nature. God said of the nation of Moab, Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and he hath settled on his lease, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 11. Because Moab had not experienced the troublesome pouring out and stirring similar to that necessary to develop good wine, the nation did not change. Moab was at ease and settled in prosperity, and because of this did not develop and mature properly spiritually. Therefore there was no change. His own scent remained in him. Suffering rids you of the old self-nature. As you are stirred, troubled, and poured out, your spiritual scent changes from carnal to spiritual. To prepare you for ministry. You have asked to be used by God. You desire to be more like Jesus and prayed to be a chosen vessel for his use. The answer to your prayer may come through suffering. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10. It is through affliction that you move beyond the calling as a child of God to become chosen of God. Affliction according to the will of God refines you for his use, just as metals are refined in a furnace in the natural world. To prepare you to reign with Christ. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. To give you spiritual blessings. Jesus said, Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. To teach you obedience. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. To test the word of God within you. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Psalms 12, verse 6. To humble you, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 15 through 16. To enlarge you spiritually. This means you grow spiritually. Thou hast enlarged me when I was under pressure. Psalms 4, verse 1, Revised Standard Version. To help you come to know God intimately. You come to know God on a more intimate basis through suffering. Job, who suffered much, learned this truth and said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job chapter 42, verses 5 to 6. Some of us know God only second-handedly. When we are experiencing the blessings of life, God is often a luxury instead of a necessity. But when you have a real need, God becomes a necessity. Job came to know God more intimately through suffering. Before he suffered, Job knew God through theology. Afterwards, he knew him by experience. This is why Paul said, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. You can only come to know God in resurrection power through the intimate fellowship of suffering. Throughout his ordeal, Job questioned God as to the cause of his suffering. It is not wrong to question God. Jesus knew the purpose for which he had come into the world was to die for the sins of all mankind. Yet in his hour of suffering, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is what follows the questioning that is important. The Lord's next words were, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Despite the questions, Job's response was, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job chapter 13, verse 15. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job chapter 19, verses 25 through 26. After all the questioning is finished, the emphasis must change from me to thee. You must commit your suffering with all its unanswered questions into the hands of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. God may reveal some of the purposes in your suffering, but it is possible you will never fully understand it. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us. There are some secret things that belong only to the Lord. As Job, you may never understand all the purposes of your suffering. Since the Lord is directing our steps, why try to understand everything that happens along the way? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, the Living Bible. When God finally talked with Job, he used several examples from nature which Job could not explain. God stressed that if Job could not understand what he saw in the natural world, he certainly could not understand that which he could not see in the spiritual world. When Job faces God, it no longer matters that he does not get an answer to his questions about suffering. He is in the direct presence of God, and that experience leaves no room for anything else. He is no longer controlled and tormented by human reasoning. He replaces questions not with answers, but with faith. When you come to know God intimately through suffering, you see yourself as you really are. You no longer know God second-handedly. That face-to-face encounter with God does what arguments and discussions cannot do. When Job stood before God, he had no new answers. He was given no new facts about his suffering, but he replaced questions with faith. Job has been in the direct presence of God, and that experience leaves no room for questions or doubts. You are not alone. When you suffer according to the will of God, you should realize you are not alone. Many other believers are experiencing similar battles. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Storms of life are inevitable and uncontrollable, as illustrated by the parable of the two houses in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Storms will come to those who have built their lives upon God's word, as well as those who have not. The foundation of a man's life is what will determine the outcome of the storm. Suffering is to be expected as part of the will of God. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. That ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. They shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Luke chapter 21, verse 12. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. John chapter 15, verse 20. Now this does not mean that you make yourself suffer, believing it would be pleasing to God. God is never pleased when people suffer. To purposely make yourself suffer, an act called asceticism, is a sin. Many people do this to try to appease God's anger or make themselves appear holy or religious before men. But God is only appeased by the blood of Jesus Christ. God does, however, take the tragedy of suffering when it does touch your life and redeem it for good. Part of the follow-up plan in establishing early churches was to teach believers that they would experience suffering. This is missing in many churches today. They returned, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. The call of Jesus to followers is one of denial and suffering. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Come, take up the cross and follow me. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus called believers to a life of denial, suffering, and the cross because of the powerful potential of the fellowship of his suffering. Resurrection power and the power of his suffering are like the positive and negative forces of electricity used in modern societies. It takes both the positive and negative to create power.